Blog Talk Radio.
And the pastor.
I am Tawanika Manning.
And I'm Dorsey Manning.
And I am, you are the preacher.
And the pastor.
I'm laughing because I'm free. It's one thing, when you make a decision to be free, and not in bondage anymore. Every time I hear that song, I get excited. Because I'm totally free.
Oh, thank God.
Free of past mindsets and behavior. And so I'm free. And stay free. Amen.
I need to laugh a little bit, too.
Hallelujah. If you just been tuning in to the preacher, the pastor, today we're talking about
every house ain't a home.
Every house ain't a home.
Every house.
And that's true. And I always think about that song from Luther Vandross.
Luther. He says every house ain't a home.
Uh-huh. He said a chair is still a chair.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Even when nobody's sitting there. And what is it, a room or something in the home, but a house is not a home when there's no one there. I don't know. I can't remember how the song goes. Maybe y'all know out there how that song goes, but every house ain't a home. Have you been there before where, you've been in a house, but it wasn't home for you? You were staying there. Your clothes were there. Everything that you own was there, but it still wasn't home?
I've definitely been there. Been in a house, and it definitely did not feel like home.
What's your name on the lease?
I don't believe my name is on the lease. That's the reason why it wasn't home to me.
I'm in a place where my name was on the lease. It was mine, but it just didn't feel like home because what I needed to make it a home was just not there. So we're going to talk about that here on the show. So I'm excited. I'm excited about today's show.
It is a great topic for tonight. We'll get a chance to go to Scripture and talk about why the house is not a home. So we definitely would be able to get into it. It's a great topic.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And what makes a house a home for you? Because for some people, they need certain things for their house to feel like a home.
Amen.
Amen. Again, we thank you for tuning in to the Preaching the Pastor Show. We're talking about every house ain't a home. And I'm excited about this topic about every house ain't a home because there are certain things that make our house feel like a home. And so if you don't have those things, then for us it does not feel like a home. And I was just saying about the Luther Vandross, you know, the every house is not a home. So this show is designed to help us to check what we call or think is a home and how it is affecting us right now today. Just because we sleep at a place doesn't make it a home for us. So Isaiah 32:18 says, my people will abide in a peaceful habitation and secure dwellings and quiet resting places. We should make our house a home where the Holy Spirit can always dwell and make his residence. So again, if you're just now tuning in to the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about every house ain't a home. Amen.
Amen. So what do we need? So what do we need, or what does anyone needs to actually make a house a home? Thinking about this topic here this morning, every house and home. So I was thinking about everything that I have in my house and to some things that I don't have in my house. And I was wondering, okay, well, does that make it a home or does it not make it a home? You know, the people here, I got everything that I need to survive. So is it home? So that's what I'm asking you. Preacher, what do a house need to make it a home?
Yeah, to me, what does a house need? What do I need? Because it's different for everyone. You have to understand, we've been speaking from a spiritual, biblical perspective or from the natural that we live in. If we're speaking from that, what did I need to make my house a home when I was younger? My thing was, I had the couch, and if I had the TV, if I had a rug, you know, I had to have an oriental rug, and I had to have a lamp here to make it feel like home. And for a lot of us, it's about the feeling. But as we grow and understand the Word of God and how, you know, operating in the Holy Spirit, how important it is that we have the Holy Spirit in our home, making sure that we are praying, that our house is a house of prayer. That was very important to me, that my house is a house of prayer, and that became home to me. For me, when I moved into my place, I had to be able to anoint my house and, you know, call out any spirits that was there before I got there to make that house my home, because you can buy a house, but it's up to you to make it your home. And so if you're just asking me what are those particular things that I need in my home, to call it a home, I need peace. I need stability. I need order in my home. I need love in my house to make it a home. These are some of the necessities that I need to make my house a home. Again, if you're just now tuning in to the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about every house ain't a home. And I know for me and me, my husband going back and forth, that's why I was laughing too, because we were talking about different things that can make your house. And, I mean, you all can chime in because I have my own perspective of how I see things and he does too. And that's the beauty of this show, is that as me being a preacher and him being a pastor, we see things different sometimes. Even we can look at the same scripture and get a different revelation about that scripture and how does it apply to our life. So even talking about every house and a home, you know, we had a little disagreement here before we got on the air, and he was saying, no, I need to know what you're talking about. And I was like, no. And we'll get into that later. But for me, Pastor, those are the things that I need in my house to make it a home. I have to have peace. Peace is very important. And God is, you know, the Holy Spirit is always present in my home, because I brought the Holy Spirit with me and allowed the Holy Spirit to dwell in my house and to be, you know, be make a residence in my home, in me. And so that's what I need. What do you need? What do you consider, what do you actually need to make your house a home?
I need those things there too. I don't know if I necessarily need physical things to actually make it a home, but, you know, those are necessary. Those are necessary, you know, like certain items in the home to make it feel good. And I think that's what it is for me. I'm thinking that whatever it is or whoever it is that's in my house, I think it becomes home when you have that peace of mind. When you have that peace of mind, you know, when you leave out of your house every single day, and you're going out, you're doing whatever it is, you know, if you're working or if you're hanging out with friends, you know, you should definitely want to be able to come back to that place where you live and make it feel like it's a home. And that brings me over to Psalms 91. You know, in Psalms 91, it actually references, which is something we should uncover ourselves every day, that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadows of the Almighty. He said, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. So definitely my home should definitely, it should definitely, you know, be a house of prayer. It should be a place, you know, somewhere everyone that's in it that I trust, you know, I should definitely be able to trust. And I should definitely be able to feel like that this is home, you know, every time, you know, I come home. There's been particular times to where I live with people, and it did not feel like home. It just felt like a place to where I just come and wash clothes and I eat a little, you know, eat some food and take a shower and, you know, just go to sleep. But it didn't feel like home at all. It didn't feel like home. And I think it was because it was certain things that was missing in the home. Prayer for number one. Prayer is one of the number one things that was missing in the house that I used to live in. And it was out of order. And being out of order is another thing. I believe that's something else, you know, that's definitely needed. Prayer, being in order, and being responsible. You know, being responsible for everything that you do. And being responsible for everything that you say, I believe that's what makes a home. I mean, there are many other things, but I believe those are a few things that make it a home. I know that it is for me. Amen.
Amen, amen. If you just can tune into the preaching the pastor, so we're talking about every house ain't a home. You know, we can be in a place and it could be our house, but it just doesn't feel like home because there's something missing or there's something that's going on to take away or to disturb the peace in the house. And most people, when they don't have peace in their house, it no longer feels like home. They begin to go outside of the house to find home somewhere else where they can be comfortable. But when we look at the meaning of house, what does it mean? A building of a human habitation, especially one that is lived in by a family, a small group, or you by yourself. Now, when we look at home and the true meaning of home, home means an enjoyable, happy place where you can live, laugh, and learn. It's somewhere that where you feel loved, you feel respected, you feel cared for. So when you look at it from the outside, home is not just a house. You know, it's what you make it to be on the inside, because anybody can have a house, but can you truly have a home and have those components that make you happy, you know, that make you, you know, excited about coming home? Some people don't want to go to the house. Some people don't want to go home because what they have made a home, they made their home to be chaos. And when we look at the Bible in Isaiah 32, verse 15, we're going to go 15 to 17, the Bible says that until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest, then justice would dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruit field, and the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. So here, where you're dwelling, just like my husband said in some line of way, he did dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you know, and God's being your refuge and being there to protect you and give you the peace in your home. Here, what the Bible is saying to us, so God acts from above to change man's condition here on earth, here in your home, when we believe in God, when we allow the Spirit to be poured out upon us from on high, allowing God to pour out His Spirit on us, where we're living, so that we can have home, we can have peace here on earth. So only when God's Spirit is among us can we achieve true justice and righteousness. And so having God and having the Holy Spirit to operate in our homes, it will bring the enjoyment, it will bring the peace, it will bring the togetherness, you know, the unity instead of having division. Some people are living in a home that's divided, so now home doesn't feel like home. It's just like you're existing in this house because now there's division. The enemy has come in and caused division. And like we were saying earlier, me and my husband were talking, we're saying having unwanted guests now that are coming in, and we're not just talking about physical people. We're talking about these different spirits that are now dwelling in, that we've brought into our house from the outside to now cause chaos in our home and causing our home not to, our house not to feel like home again. So when we're talking about this in the Bible, and allow God to dwell, allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell in your house so that it can be your home. So you're not searching elsewhere for a home at somebody else's house. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So we can definitely look at it from a physical, but we should not neglect, you know, the spiritual meaning of every house. You know, it's not a home either. You know, we should definitely know that, you know, this body that we live in, you know, we are a spirit being. We need to understand that, you know, that we are a spirit being and we live inside of this body. So we should make sure that we take care of our body. You know, our body needs what it needs. It needs exercise. It needs an adequate amount of food. It needs prayer. We already talk about prayer. You know, it definitely needs that. You know, it needs to be in the right condition of being clean. We should not put unclean things in our body. And it definitely includes thoughts, and it definitely includes, like, substances that's not supposed to go in there. See, that don't belong in your body. The man created certain things for us to take an enjoyment of, to put that in your body to cause you to feel a certain type of way. And I believe right there in that place, when your inside, like the inside of you, are not clean, I mean, it's like a direct up indication of what's going on in your physical house. Now, if you don't have pure thoughts, you don't have pure thoughts, and you're always thinking on the negative, or you always feel like, you know, that you're angry or you're upset, or you feel like, you know, that anytime you get a little pain or something, you know, I'm sick. So, you know, uncleansingness inside of your body. Now, we know the word of God, you know, saying, you know, God, he won't dwell in an unclean place. He won't dwell in an unclean place. So we should make sure, you know, that our mind, which is that place that becomes unclean, we should make sure that place, you know, should be clean all the time. We should not allow people to say things to affect, or infect our minds, infect our thoughts. We should not do that. And neither, you know, should we allow devices that we have that are in our home. You know, everything is battling, you know, to get inside of your house. You know, you have people that are trying to say things to get inside of your head. Because if they get inside of your head, it can cause you to feel a certain type of way. So we should make sure, you know, that inside our body, which is the house, this is the place, you know, that we live inside, you know, our spirit being lives inside, we should make sure it stay pure all the time. And it should stay clean. Just as our physical house, it should also stay clean. It should be decent, and it should be in order. Amen?
Amen, amen. I agree with that. If you're just entering into the preaching, the pastor, so we're talking about every house ain't a home. What does that mean to you, the listener, on tonight? If you'd like to chime into the conversation on tonight and give your perspective on this topic, every house ain't a home, please do so by pressing 1, or if you're logged on to the actual website at Blog Talk Radio, please give us a call at 845-277-9213. Again, that number is 845-277-9213. And press the number 1 and we'll bring you in if you like to chime in on this particular topic. Every house ain't a home. And I agree with that. And the way we came up with that title, my husband, he always talk about old stories about his grandfather. And he told me this is something his grandfather used to say, every house ain't a home. And, you know, and I always ask you this whenever you tell me something about your grandfather, something from the past, I'm like, oh, that's a good show, because that is so true. Every house ain't a home. Though you stay there, your things are there, but it doesn't feel like home to you. I don't know about anyone that's listening, but I've been in a place, like I said, it just didn't feel like home. It was missing something. I needed more of something. There was something that wasn't there. Whether we're talking about something physical or in the spiritual, there was something missing. And like my husband said, that, you know, if your body, if you haven't taken care of your temple, you
you know, because we are housed in this body, which is our temple. If you haven't, you're not taking care of your body, and what you're pointing to your body can definitely begin to spill into your physical home, your physical life, and cause chaos into your physical home and turning it upside down. So now your house is no longer feeling like home. You know, I don't feel like home again. And there's a lot of problems in marriages that at one point it felt like home, but when things start to change and separation came and peace was taken away from a home and chaos came and took room in the house, took residence in the house, and peace passed up and left, now that's become a division in the house. So now the house that once was home or felt like home doesn't even feel like a home. You know, now I feel like a stranger in this house. I know they had a song that said there's a stranger in my house, and I'm trying to figure out. So now that was comfortable to you, that was peace to you, that was home to you, it doesn't feel like that anymore, because now you have now been either robbed from it, or peace and packed up, happiness and packed up, joy has packed up, and chaos has moved in, and separation has moved in, and sorrow has moved in. So now you're housing all these different spirits, you're housing all these different things, which has now turned your house that used to be a home back in just to a house that I don't know anymore.
Amen.
Amen. And so we have to be very, very, very careful with that. And even as women, and I'm speaking from a woman's perspective, the Bible says in Proverbs 14 that the wise woman builds her house, but her own hands, the foolish one, tears it down. So we have to be very careful, women, because the man is the head of the household. He's supposed to provide and make sure things in order, but it's us to keep the house running in order, keeping it flowing. And we have that kind of power and authority in the household that, you know, because we are basically the center of everything. Everybody comes to mom. Everybody comes, you know, the husband needs mom. The children needs mom. And then we are the one. We can either tear it down or we can build it up. You can tear it down or you can build it up and cause that home to now, that house now not to feel like home anymore. So it's very, very important. And like, you know, like my husband was saying, I just, you know, I wanted to say that. And I'm just, this topic is just so important because I know some people right now are in their house right now and saying, this don't feel like home anymore. And one thing we should always make our house is our house of prayer. We make our home our house of prayer. We make sure that we are praying. That is something that is constantly going on in here with us and our children. You know, we make sure that we are in prayer, you know, because we leave outside of this house and, you know, we want to come back home to peace and to joy and happiness. This is where we come, where we can. This is our safe haven. Home should be a safe haven for you. But when it gets to the point where it's no longer a safe haven, it's all kind of chaos. Who wants to go home when home ain't home anymore? It's just a house. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I remember not too many months ago, there was somebody that was banging at this door. That was banging at this door, and I didn't realize it, you know. My wife, she realized that somebody was banging at the door. It was just hitting on the door. It was somebody trying to come in. But everybody that lived here was already in here. So I wasn't going to open up the door. I wasn't going to open up the door because, you know, they was really adamant about getting in. And the person that it was, you know, was trying to get inside of here, you know, she wanted to say something. She was just having a bad day. Maybe she was having a bad day, but it was something that she just needed to be said. Now, this was at a particular time, you know, we pray every morning. So this was at a particular time where, you know, it was prayer time. And I think she even, the lady, she even looked through the window and she seen that, and, you know, that we were in here and we were in prayer, but she didn't care about that. You know, she was trying to get in. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, you know, you don't open up your door, anybody in your house, because, you know, these are unclean spirits. You know, whatever spirit
yes.
that was on her, she wanted to make sure that that door came open so that spirit that was on her, you know, was to come inside of our home and disrupt it and cause our home to be out of order. But no, you know, that's something that you should not tolerate. Neither you should not tolerate somebody terrorizing your home.
Yes.
Trying to get inside of your home, you won't tolerate that. You make sure you will call the right authorities to come in to help you, just in case, you know, there are people that's trying to force their way inside of your home. Well, we should do that same thing. We should call that authority when people try to infect your mind, you know, with thought, every single thing or every single thing about you is all about, you know, how can Satan, he's trying to figure out, you know, how can I get on the inside of you? It starts with what you listen to, and it also starts with what you are looking at and what you are listening to. Because what you are looking at and what you are listening to, it's going to create a feeling. It's going to create an action. And if it's something that's that's not pure, you know, it's definitely going to be on the inside. And now, you know, that's an infection, and it's going to affect something. I think my wife was listening to a something online last night. I was sleeping. She might not want me to tell y'all this, but
I was sleeping last night.
I was sleeping soundly, and it was some type of criminal TV show or some unmystery show, and, you know, she had the volume very low. She had the volume very low, but, you know, when I was dreaming, you know, I can hear, you know, what was going on, and I would begin to dream about, you know, everything that was saying. It was some guy, you know, he had murdered someone. I think it maybe was his girlfriend or his wife, and something happened with the kid. You know, in my dream, you know, I can see, I can actually feel like what was going on. It's like I was living that. It's like I was seeing snakes and all different types of things. So I was just saying about be careful of what you give your attention over to, what you listen to, because and it gets inside of your body, your house. That's your safe, your comfort, and your peace is all in there. You don't let anybody come to your door, and never don't let anybody, you know, speak some type of thing that can cause you to feel a certain type of way. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, everything starts in the mind. It's all about. It's about how you feel. What is your emotion? What is your emotions tied to, you know, to make you feel a type of way? Because it is about a feeling. If your house, for us, is like, okay, it doesn't feel like home, you know. So we're talking about a feeling. So if something is entering through your mind, you know, and you're taking on whatever that emotion is, whatever that emotion is making you feel, so now it's causing you to feel a certain type of way, uneasy or uncomfortable in your home. And so we do have to be careful what we give our eyes to and what we listen to. And though I had it turned down very, very low, and I normally don't watch anything like that, but that last night I just so happened to be up and I was watching it. I don't know why I was led to watch it, but I had it very, very low. And it did. It triggered something in him, and he became very uncomfortable or troubled by what he was hearing, because it entered into his dream. So it was trouble in the home, not that I caused trouble or anyone in the home caused trouble, but what I was listening to was troubling him in our house, which was making it uncomfortable in our home. So we definitely have to be careful what we give our eyes to and what we give our ears to. I don't know if you ever heard, you have to guard your gates, your ears, your eyes, what you see, what you hear. You know, because whatever we give attention to, we give life to it, and that particular thing can take root in us. And if you don't know how to break that thing off, it can cause chaos and division in your home, because then you've taken on that spirit. So we have to be very, very careful with what we're listening to and what we allow to be played in our home, because not only will it affect you, but it'll affect everything in your house. It'll affect everyone in your house. It may affect everybody differently. So we definitely have to be very, very careful. But I wanted to go to the scripture in 1 Timothy 5:8. It says that, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. What is this scripture telling us? Believe it is. And it says to take care of your own household first. A lot of us are not taking care of our household first. Our first goal is to take care of home. So our homes are unkept. So when our homes are unkept, it's no longer home again. You know, it's just becoming that house, because we're no longer taking care of our house, which makes it a home. I don't know. Does that make sense to you, love? If we're not putting your household first, because the Bible says it here that that's what we're supposed to do first. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, so if you're not providing for your own household, you're causing a division. You're causing things to slip. You're causing things to be out of order. So we have to be very careful that we are keeping things in order. The Bible declares when we go over to Ezekiel, and I'm sure you all know the story about Hezekiah. Second Kings 21 about Hezekiah. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos,
came to him and said to him, thus said the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover. So some of us, our houses are out of order. Our homes are out of order, and we need to get our houses in order. So when things are out of order, of course, it's no longer going to feel like home because things are out of order, and even to a point that it can cause death, it can cause premature death, it can cause all this disruption in our daily life because we need to get our house in order. Just like Hezekiah, his house was out of order, and he became sick. So now we invite sickness in. We open ourselves up to so many other things of the enemy because we're operating out of order. Amen.
Amen, amen. You know, everybody that's inside of the house has responsibility. Everybody has responsibility. The kid, you're responsible to make sure that your room is in order. You're also responsible to make sure that you get up and you're going to school and you're doing what you're supposed to do at school to come home. And, you know, that's just a lifestyle until you be in your own home. So the kids have a responsibility, and not only the kids have a responsibility, you know, the mother and the father also have responsibility. Now, I believe that if somebody is not in order and they're not doing their responsibility, then that means the responsibility is going to fall on somebody else. Somebody else has to take up the slack, have to take up your responsibility. And I believe right there, at that point right there, if I'm doing more than what my responsibility is inside of our home, I believe that's where that division comes in, that division or that resentment. That's where that resentment comes in at, and that's where the anger, that's where the words that are said. Now, let me just tell you how I feel. Now, that's not going on in my home, but let me just tell you how I feel about it. I know people like to say, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. No, that's too much right there. I can't give you a piece. That's all I got is a piece. All I got is a little piece of mind. If I give you this piece, then I ain't got nothing. Yeah, but everybody has a responsibility, and things that are necessary, let those things be in your home. Let those things dwell in your home. The unnecessary thing should not be in your home at all. Not be in your home at all. And people... people should not know what's going on in my home unless I tell it to you. But if I'm telling you what's going on in my home, you should not tell everything what's going on in your four walls. You shouldn't. You shouldn't, because when you do that, you're allowing opportunity for people to come in and steal from you, people come in and rob for you, or people to speak all type of things, you know, over your home, over your family, over you. You shouldn't do that. You definitely know you shouldn't do that. You should make sure that you take responsibility for your home, and everybody in the home take their responsibility, and just do what is necessary and keep the unnecessary out.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen, amen. If you just tuning into the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about every house ain't a home. We've tried to live in places and get as comfortable as we could, and it still did not feel like home. You know, moving in with someone, and, you know, they say, make yourself at home, but you never felt like home. And I know we've been to places, some people say, when I go to my grandmother's house, it feels just like home. It's nothing like, you know, home. And you can go in places and you just become comfortable and say, every time I come here, I have a friend of my house that I go to, and every time I go there, it feels like home because the Holy Spirit is present. She's a praying woman. She's a God-fearing woman. And so our house is filled with peace and joy and happiness. So every time I go to our house, even though it's not my house, not my home, but when I go there, I feel like I'm at home, and she makes me feel like I'm at home. She's welcoming, you know, and so I just make myself at home, you know, take off my shoes and, you know, be comfortable. I don't know about you, but you ever been to someone's house, and when you go there, they say make yourself at home, but you can never get comfortable there. But in some places you can go to, and they say make yourself at home, and you feel like you're at home. You know, so when we say every house ain't a home, and it's true because some houses are chaotic. Somehow, some people house that you go to, you can't make yourself at home because it's all kind of spirits that are, you know, in the atmosphere. I mean, we've been to places where there have been you know, all these spirits, and we couldn't stay in there. It's like, okay, you know what, because we're going to have to battle this thing. We're going to be here all night. I went into places and people's houses where I had to go out and, you know, and come against these spirits and do a cleansing of the house from the ceiling to the floor, because all these different spirits, because the owner of the house no longer feel like, they felt like their house was being taken over by these spirits, so it no longer felt like home to them, so they needed to do a cleansing of that house. And so, that's the same for a lot of us. You know, we live in a house, but it no longer feels like home. It ain't home to us no more. It doesn't do what it used to do for us. It doesn't feel like it used to feel for us. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:6 that in the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. It's trouble. So in the house of the righteous there is much treasure. There's peace. There's joy. There's happiness. You know, that's prosperity. That's unity in the house of the righteous. There's much treasure, you know. But in the revenue of the wicked, the income of the wicked is trouble. What they're receiving is trouble. They're receiving, you know, chaos and destruction and sickness and, you know, double-mindedness. They're receiving all this in their house because the type of company that they are keeping, because one, they are wicked, they operate in wickedness versus with the righteous. We are, you know, and we're righteous by God's righteousness. God that made us righteous because we seek God. We seek God in all his righteousness. The Bible says, which is my favorite scripture in the Bible, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. So daily we are seeking God's kingdom and all his righteousness. So all that we need will be added unto us. We're not just talking about physical things, material things, but the Holy Spirit of the living God, we welcome to operate in our home, you know, every day, all day, not just when we need something, not just when we need a blessing, not when we just need him to come in and do something, but we come seeking he God first in his kingdom every day. For the Bible says, in the house, this is Proverbs 15:6, in the house of the righteous, there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble, trouble, trouble in their home, trouble all around them. So you got to be real careful even with inviting people in, operating in wickedness and what they will bring into your house and rob from you and take from you the treasures, because you have allowed them to come in and operate in such a way to take away your peace, your joy, your happiness in your home. So now your house is no longer feeling like home. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know what, this in these days, I think around about March, you know, when they had this COVID-19, if I'm saying it right, I really haven't been paying a whole lot of attention to it, this coronavirus, it's caused a lot of businesses to be temporarily closed. But the one place that it affected, caused to be closed, was the house of God. Now, I find that very offensive. I find that very offensive. I mean, that's just so offensive. Who spoke this, or who let this demon loose, that this demon is just lurking around out here, this place, trying to seek whom it can destroy, to where you have to close the doors of the church? You know, most for most people, the house of God is probably that only place where they will find peace. They will find peace, even if just for those hour or 2 hours, I don't know exactly how long everyone's service is, hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. That was that place where people were can come together and be able to pray together, to be able to hear the word, or be able to give a word, to be able to sing, to worship, and to give. You know, just to fellowship with each other. You know, this is God's house. Now, God's house, you know, which is the place where we go to worship at, and this is the type of house, this is the type of home that everyone seeks to be in, because that's that place, you know, where you find your most comfort, you know, your comfort, you know, is in God's house. And I really believe that, you know, even though all this is going on here today, you know, with this corona virus that's trying to affect and effect everyone. I mean, there's not one person that's not in danger of it. I mean, what I mean, you know, I'm saying danger, but it's trying to affect everyone. But to close the house, the doors of the church, where people don't come to church, I find that most offensive, you know, out of all. But in these days right here, in these days and times right here, this is an opportunity for us to get our house in order. get our own house in order. Because now, you know, we have the time to be able to pray in your own home. Now you have the opportunity to be able to actually know something about your husband or your wife, or even what the children. I mean, you got a chance to actually fellowship with each other in your own home. So once you get your house in order, your house that you live in order, hey, maybe we'll be ready to go back into God's house. If we can't get our house in order, I would think we can have God's house in order. If ours is not.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen, amen. It's so true. That's so true. If you just can't tune into the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about every house and the home. We are the Gospel Public Ministries, and we are. You will find us in the highways and the byways of Houston, Texas, and the out of city limits, bringing the Word of God, the good news, the gospel to God's people, the believer and the unbeliever. If you want to actually, you know, sow into the ministry, you can at our Cash App at Pastor Chantel. We definitely appreciate any contributions to the ministry in Jesus' name. Again, if you're just now tuning in, we're talking about every house and a home. And piggybacking on kind of what you said, Pastor, looking at Proverbs 24:17, you know, in our house, we have to have wisdom. The Bible says, no, through wisdom, our house is built. You know, we talked about, you know, there's KB Homes and you know, all these different homes that they have out there. Okay, they can sell you a house, but it's up to you to make it a home. And how do you do that? Through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is established. It's like having a foundation and then building on that foundation. So in verse 4 said, by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And I'm going to say that again. If you're just now tuning in, we're talking about every house and a home. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4, through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. What is your house filled with? With the knowledge of what you know that the house needs to prosper, to be unified, to be what it needs to be in the name of Jesus Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit, welcome the Holy Spirit into your home to have its way in that place, to receive the treasures of God, to fill every room in your house with peace, with joy, with happiness, with prosperity, with blessings and favor in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you're just tuning in, we did the scripture also in Proverbs 15:6. It said, in the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. That tells you right there, even in Proverbs 24, what is that? Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And then and when we talk about wisdom, we're talking. I want to go to Joshua, the book of Joshua, in chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods our father served, and the other side of the river, and in Egypt, serve the Lord. And verse 15 says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is wisdom. Joshua said, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So as far as me, Pastor Manny, my husband Dorsey Manny, we will serve the Lord in our house.
Yeah, we will.
For my house.
Yes,
you got to say that. You got to decree and declare. But as far as my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care what your family is saying. There's another way to get to God. There's another way to be saved. Is this, you can do this, you can do that. But you got to decree and declare and stand firm and say, I don't care how you going to do it, but as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord, so that my house can always be that home of comfort, that home of peace, that house of treasures and blessings and favor that only God can give, that he pours out his Holy Spirit on my house, that he will open up the windows of heaven, you know, and pour out blessings that my house won't have room enough to receive. We're talking about every house ain't a home, but what is your house like? Have you made your house a home? What are you filling your house with? What have you decreed and declared over your house? Amen. So just to break down the scripture, because I like to give just a little understanding of what the scripture is saying. So the people had to decide whether they would obey the Lord, who had proved his trustworthiness to them, or obey the local gods, which were only man-made idols. See, a lot of us, we have man-made idols. We, you know, money that we made it our God. But even money has on money, and God we trust. So money even trusts in God. Amen. So we have to be... Oh, Lord, talking to somebody out there, hallelujah. It's easy to slip into a quiet rebellion, going about life in your own way, you know, allowing things to come in. And a lot of times we don't even realize what we're doing, but the time comes when you have to choose who or what will control you, who or what will control your house, what will go on in your house. The choice is yours. Will it be God, your own limited personality? Will it be God, your own limited personality, or another imperfect substitute? Once you've chosen to be controlled by God's Spirit, we affirm your choice every day. Every day we have to decree and declare it. Every day we got to go seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Every day we need to welcome the Holy Spirit to have his way in our house, in our dwelling place, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, so... There's a lot of things that are going on in our home. We might not say it. We might not say it. It's not our physical home, beautiful wife. But I'm just saying, for as a whole, as in people, there's a lot of things that are going on in your home that you allow to be in there. And I was looking over here in Galatians 5. Looking over here in Galatians 5 and around about verse 19, and I was reading it. I said, you know what? This definitely goes on in a lot of homes that cause it to be just a house now. Adultery does not belong in your house.
Yes.
It does not. Neither does fornication. That does not belong in your house. Uncleanliness does not belong in your house. Adultery, witchcraft, hatred, wrath, strife, envyingness. None of these things belong in your house. None of these things belong in your house, because if these things, if these unclean thoughts and unclean spirit, if these are in your house, you can't expect it to be your home. You can't expect it to be your home. You should expect it to crumble and to fall and to not be comfortable. Now down here, now these things does belong in your house. These spirits belong in your house. Love belongs in your house.
Yes.
Joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. See, all these beings, they belong in your house. The name of Jesus. I'm going to say that on every single show. The name of Jesus should be bouncing off
of
your walls.
The name of Jesus. Yes.
That should be bouncing off of your walls. If you can't do anything in your house, you know, you should call upon the name of Jesus, because you have unclean spirits that attach themselves to you, whether they were spoken through your television or through the radio, or maybe you could have been speaking on the phone, the telephone yourself, and you would speak things into your home, you know, but the name of Jesus should be ringing off of your walls, because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess and every demon shall flee. Out of your home. But we should definitely know what are you allowing to come in your house. Don't let your eyes look at things. I know television used to be family television when I was growing up. It was certain things that they just would not allow to be on television. Not today, not in 2020. It's so much exposure to gruesome things, murdering, all different type of things that should not be in your home, that creates fear. It creates fear, and it creates all different type of things that are in there. And we wonder why, you know, that we can't get along. It's because what you're exposing yourself to, you bringing these things in your home. I like to, before I come home from work every single day, and, you know, every day is not a good day. I work out there in the construction world from time to time. And believe me, I hang around some people that have some unclean spirit, and they will say things and they will do things to cause you to just mess your whole day up. But before I walk through this door, I make sure I know who's in this. I know who's in my home, and I love everybody that's in my home. I make sure I leave all that outside. That has to stay outside. I cannot feel the same way like I was feeling on the construction site as I feel, you know, when I come inside of this door. Because when I come in this door, see, my home, as my wife say, you know, it needs to be peaceful. It needs to be peaceful. And I shouldn't be dealing with it. I shouldn't be bringing unclean spirits from no one inside of my home. Amen.
Amen. If you just tuned into the preaching, the pastor show, we're talking about every house ain't a home. And, you know, and I just like to, I always like to talk about life and, you know, experiences and things that I've experienced and people that I've talked to. Let's say, for instance, someone said, I'm going to give you this house, a brand new house.
Uh-huh.
You never lived in
uh-huh.
It's brand new to you. It's not brand new, but it's brand new to you. I'm going to give you this house. And you
right.
get in this house. And you think, I'm going to make this my home. You know, we were watching,
uh-huh.
I believe, a comedian. She said they had given her this house, an apartment, and it was all, I mean, it was just all, the way she described it, it was horrible. I was thinking to myself, there's no way, free or not, or half the rent, there's no way I can live in that place. The way she described it,
right.
it was infested with all kind of stuff, and, you know, the paint, and it was just, the way she described it was horrible. You know, we were watching, one of the comedians, and she was describing this place, and the way she described it, it was like there's no way a human could live in this place. And she said, I made it my home.
Yeah, that's right. That's
she
right.
made
it
her home. She, I mean, you got to understand, you are, she, the way she described this place, it was so disgusting. Like, I'd rather live outside. I'd rather make the side, you know, the side of the street my home. But she had taken that was corroded and just infested with all kind of stuff that would have caused me to be uncomfortable and caused me to not be able to rest. There's no way I could call this home. This is horrible. How can a human live like this? But she was so grateful. She said, I'm going to turn this into my home. She said, I did a little paint. I did this. I pulled this out, and I made it my home. So every house ain't a home, you know, because
yeah.
though it was home for her, but there's no way I could have made that a home for me. So your home is what you make it, what you make your home to be, you know, what you need to, in order for you to have peace in your home, enjoyment in your home. That's what home is about. Home is about comfort. Home is about peace.
Yeah.
And for us, our peace comes because we have the Holy Spirit. You know, like I said, we welcome the Holy Spirit and it's essential in our home that we have, you know, God, the Word of God. You know, we have Jesus Christ. We have God as our, the lifter of our head and the head of our life.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're operating that daily, not just sometimes, so that we can maintain our home to be that home of peace, our safe haven. You have to be careful, people, who you let in your house, because they can come in and wreak havoc in your home and destroy everything that you have built your house up to be. You got to be careful. A lot of times you don't think that could happen to you, or no, it don't matter who I let in. I told my friend before, be careful all these people that you are let in your house. And she didn't listen
Amen.
To me. But now she's saying, my house is so chaotic because all these, you know, these different people, these different spirits coming in and coming out has caused her house to crumble, has caused it to fall. It's caused so much now. She's like, this house don't even feel like home. I'm ready to move. I'm ready to get from over here. I'm ready to get out of here. You know, but not realizing this is what you brought in. This is what you allowed to come and take habitation in your home. You allowed chaos. You allowed stress. You allowed depression to walk in. You allowed anxiety. You know, you allowed uncleanliness. You allowed darkness to come in and cover your home. You allowed this. So we definitely
mm-hmm.
have to be careful what we allow in our house, because it can destroy
Amen.
Our home. Amen?
Amen. That's right. That's definitely right. That's definitely right. I'm over here in John 13 and 34. You know, this is Jesus speaking here. Jesus said, a
mm-hmm.
new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have
yes.
loved you, that you also
yes.
love one another. I believe it starts right there. I believe it starts right there, you know, in your house
mm-hmm.
to make sure that you love one another. Because love conquers all, No matter what's going on inside your house, you can remember to just make sure that you love one another. So that is commandment. That's not something that you are asked to do. You are commanded to do that. If you're in the body of Christ, you know, you are commanded to love one another. And down here in 14, it talk about the house. He talk about let not your heart be troubled. So if something is going wrong right now, you know, don't be troubled because, you know, you have God. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then 2 says, you know, in my Father's house are many mansions. So right there is saying that, you know, hey, this is a temporary place for you. You know, keep it in order. You know, you are here in this world, you know, so definitely keep your body and your mind and your spirit, you know what I'm saying, the place where it needs to be, you know, and that's in Christ. Make sure, you know, that you are seeking the kingdom. That's my wife. That's one of her favorite chapters there is Matthew 6. And make sure you're doing that. But also know that Jesus Christ have already went before you and preparing a place for you in God's house. You know, this is a temporary place. Keep your house in order. Keep your physical house in order. Keep the house that you live in order. But just know that we are passing through. We're passing through this place. We're passing this place. And there is a mansion that's waiting for you on the other side. Amen.
Amen. I guess that was food for thought as we wrap up the last few minutes of the show. We just thank God for all that is listening on tonight, and we decree and declare over your life right now God's blessing, God's goodness, God's favor, God's protection and healing. For those of y'all that are listening, are needing healing and waiting for God to heal you, we decree and declare in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth healing over your body, healing to every bone in your body, that you will be strengthened by the Holy Spirit of the living God right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for life, health, and strength
thank
that coming
Lord.
From you. Father God, we thank you, Father God, that even on tonight, Father God, that we have decreed and declared that you are the head of our household, Lord God, and with you, our house
yeah.
is a home. And as long as we have you, the Holy Spirit of the living God, dwelling in our house, oh God, that we have peace, we have enjoyment, for our house is our safe haven because you, that you're always there. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We bless your name.
Thank
we bless
you,
your
Lord.
Name, Father God. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ right now, all who are listening on tonight, whether it's by phone or on the internet, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over you and all that you love and concerned about, over your finances, your marriage, your health, your strength, your peace, your joy, your job, your vehicle, everything that you have and everything that God will give you. We plead the precious blood of Jesus Christ over it right now for your healed, delivered, set free, blessed, and protected by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for our inheritance. We decree and declare victory on tonight, that we are victorious through Christ Jesus. And Lord, we just want to say thank you. Lord, we can't thank you enough, but yet
thank
still,
you,
we want to say thank you. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray with thanksgiving. To God be the glory. And we both say amen. One other thing
amen.
I wanted to say as we wrap up the last couple of minutes of the show, there is a scripture here that is in front of me, and it may be for someone on the line tonight because it's about God's covenant with David. And when you have God and God is ahead of your life and you're in that covenant with God, what God will do for you, he will give you a house that you didn't even build. He will bless you with your house and make it a home. He will be there when you get there. He will already prepare the way for you. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 7, and I'll make it real quick because we have about 2 minutes. 2 Samuel 7, verse 8, he said, now, therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from the following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. And verse 10 says, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in the place of their own, and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more, as previously. Verse 11 says, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies, also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. So I will make you a house. And if God is making you a house, can nobody tear down that God has built for you, that God has given you. There's nothing that man can say, woman can say, and there's something that the government can do, no one can do when God gives it to you. He'll give you all that you need if you just trust in him. He will cover you. He will cover you like he did the children of Israel. Just trust God and know that he is God. He's the same God on yesterday, today, and forevermore. And, Lord, we just want to say thank you for your word. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for blessing our house, oh God, and all in whom that are listening on tonight, Lord God, for blessing our homes, Lord, and taking our house from house to home. And we thank you, Lord God, that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God and under the shadow of the Almighty. We thank you that even right now, God, we decree and declare that we shall remain the apples of your eye. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, Lord, we just ask right now that you will have your way. You all please tune in tomorrow night with us at 8 p.m. The preacher and the pastor show will be back here live on tomorrow night. Be ready, be ready. We're just trusting God to have his way on the show tomorrow at 8 p.m. The show topic on tomorrow, that'll surprise you with it. No, for it, the show is called Can You Be Honest With Yourself? Can you look at yourself in the mirror and be honest? God bless you. Have a good night. We love you all. The preacher and the pastor show.